Ryan, thanks so much. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Really quick, we were just talking about an interpreter who didn't do a very good job during the hurricanes last week, and we were trying to come up with where this has happened recently in the past or fairly recently. It turns out several texters knew it was at Nelson Mandela's funeral. That's where it was.
All right. We need to talk to Tom Skilling about something that you brought up that I knew nothing about.
Mm-hmm.
So the legendary Tom Skilling on the line with us right now. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. I'm anxious to hear what you didn't know about me. Happy Monday to you guys.
Happy Monday to you, Tom.
You as well.
It's a gorgeous, you know, this is the week that autumn arrives astronomically. So we're 5 days from the autumnal equinox around here. And what a beautiful period of weather it is. It's been, what a great weekend.
Tom, I'm sure I'm not the first person to say this to you, but last week, as the storms were just tearing through the south, I almost felt guilty because it was so nice here and so awful there. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I do indeed, Bill. I'll tell you, we've got another catastrophe unfolding in the Caribbean and the tropical Atlantic. That area has been just decimated by these storms. The U.S. and British Virgin Islands have been leveled by Irma, and now they've got Maria, which is deepening rapidly and headed that way, and it looks like Puerto Rico may be in for a direct blow, too, which would be the first time in 19 years that a major hurricane has made landfall in Puerto Rico. So, it's amazing we could be sitting here in such beautiful weather, and as you say, Bill, such tragedy unfolding elsewhere. They still don't have electricity, water in the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
And many people are living in damaged homes. So the question becomes, where do you offer shelter as another 150-mile-per-hour plus hurricane bears down on that region? And in Puerto Rico, they may see flooding rains of up to 25 inches. So it's been
something. Awful.
I know this is hurricane season, but it seems odd that these are such powerful storms coming back to back to back. Is this something unique to this season?
Well, I'll tell you, Wendy, the ocean temperatures are warm, and we're right between La Nina and El Nino. We're in what's called an ENSO quiet period. That's interestingly, that event on the other side of the in the equatorial Pacific, when you have a quiet period there and you don't have an El Nino or a La Nina, the winds over the Atlantic basin aloft tend to be light. And so these storms, you marry that with the fact that they've got warm ocean waters, which fuel these storms. And it means there are no upper winds or wind shear that tear these things apart, and they can develop unfettered. So, just the marriage of a couple of conditions, namely warm ocean waters and lack of wind shear through the atmosphere. And so the season has taken off. We've had twice the climatological average on named storms out in the Atlantic. We've had 13 named storms, and 7 is average by this time.
Wow.
So it's Tom, really when this happens, does that say to you and your business, uh-oh, look out, if it's like that this year, it's going to get worse next year or the year after, or is there no pattern at all in terms of that?
Well, not necessarily, Bill, because I'll tell you, it's rare to have us sitting so perfectly between a La Nina and an El Nino. Normally you have one or the other going out in the Pacific, and when that happens, that tends to affect the upper-level winds, particularly if it's an El Nino. We have what looks to be a La Nina developing. That's a cooling of the equatorial Pacific, and that has some implications for our winter this year, if that's true. There's a volatility to winters in Chicago and the Midwest related to La Ninas, and there's also, we found from in-house work, that about 60% of the winters have more rain and or snow in La Nina winters. And the temperatures bobble around pretty dramatically because you can get Arctic outbreaks in a La Nina winter, but they tend to oscillate with periods of mild weather coming in off the Pacific. So you get big temperature swings in La Nina winters sometimes in this area. And that'll be something we watch in the months ahead as we get closer and closer to winter.
Well, I got to tell you, Tom, you're the only man I trust when it comes to weather, really and truly.
Oh, thank you, Wendy. I'm telling you something. And the check is in the mail.
All right. So, Tom, last week, as we're talking about the weather, and Wendy said, as she just told you,
yeah,
there's only one guy to trust, and that's Tom Skilling.
Yeah.
And I brought up a name from your past.
Yes.
And that name, that guy's name is Albert the Alley Cat.
Albert the Alley Cat. Oh, yeah. One of the prouder moments in my broadcast career. You know, just... Yeah.
Well, we were warned by Steve Bertrand not to bring this up to you, and we don't mean any disrespect, but I didn't know Albert the Alley Cat was on a station in Milwaukee with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Believe me, I'm not sensitive about it at all. You know, I'm 65 years old. I look back on the career, and I think, hey, this is something not everybody did. It, by the way, was not the way I would have programmed a weather show. But, I didn't come along one day and say, hey, you know, to make my life complete and my weather programs more complete, I've got to have a puppet on it. But, and, you know, when I went to school up at the University of Wisconsin, I used to have my fellow students in from the Milwaukee area saying, as I was working on television out in Madison in my early years, hey, what you need is a puppet on the end. And I said, you have got to be kidding me. It is not what I need. Where in the world did you get that idea? And then they briefed me on Albert the Alley Cat.
Who preceded you, correct? Albert was there before you got there.
Yeah. Albert had been teamed up with a very popular weather forecaster in Milwaukee on television, Ward Allen. And they had... Apparently, some program director back in the 1960s thought, hey, you know, this was a period of gimmickry. Some would say it continues, but I mean, in those days, gimmickry included putting a puppet on the weather show. And so they pulled Albert off a kid's show, put him on the evening newscast with alongside Ward Allen, and this created something of an institution. I mean, people loved Albert. All the surveys showed that he was the most popular on-air personality in Milwaukee.
Oh, my God.
So, I was the last person you would ever think would be teamed up with him. But I had moved from Madison, Wisconsin, down to Jacksonville, Florida, and worked down in Jacksonville for a year. And I was so anxious to get back to the Midwest where we had real seasons and it snowed part of the year. You know, I missed that.
Tom, what would happen, though, if the weather was awful? Let's say it was incredibly extreme like we had last week. Would Albert the Alley Cat still come on and talk about that or not?
Well, you know, here's what happened. Albert would be on at the beginning. We'd chat a little bit and... oftentimes, his function was to promote bazaars and fundraising, you know, public service events. People would knit him little outfits promoting a church bazaar or something that's going on. And then at the end of the show, he had a joke he would throw in there, and he would read the current conditions during the show. So here you had Mr. Meteorology sitting next to Albert talking about jet streams and dew points. It must have been riotous TV, quite honestly, because you know how seriously I take the weather.
Yes.
And that never let up. But it was interesting. The American Meteorological Society, of which I'm a member and I'm very proud to be a member, didn't care for that and told me that my seal of approval would be pulled if Albert wasn't gone. And when I was hired there, I got a call one day down in Jacksonville from WITI in Milwaukee, who's now one of our Tribune stations, by the way.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we saw you on a tape. We were looking at a news anchor, and we saw your weather on there. Would you come up and talk to us about possibly doing the weather? So I did. The idea of getting back to the Midwest was a thrill, and I said, they said, look, Albert's going back to the kids' show from which he came. We want a more serious approach to the weather. But then the mail started coming in and bags up there. I remember the news director's office had these mail sacks stacked from the floor to the ceiling. And people were writing saying, how dare you? Don't you dare? This is like killing the family pet.
Right. Oh, man.
Picking him up. So probably extended Albert's career another several years. And I worked next to him. And, you know, frankly, as I say, it's not the way I would have put a weather show together, but I got a kick out of the reaction of people to Albert.
And it probably prepared you for anyone else you'd ever work with again in your career.
You know, Wendy, I'll tell you, they kid me here. When I started here, they would kid me and say, well, I think it's time we bring a puppet in. You know? And I said, no, not again. Once in a professional career is enough, you know. But
didn't Channel 9 have Garfield Goose doing political commentary for a little while, a couple of months?
Not on the weather, but...
No?
But, you know, look at the role of Pakukla, Fran, and Ollie.
Sure.
I mean, you know, it's really, when you look at broadcast history, this isn't unusual at all.
Well, Tom, I don't know if you'll remember this. I told Wendy that on the Today Show for a couple of years, they had on J. Fred Muggs. He was the co-host, and he was a monkey.
Right. So, you know, I mean, and, you know, you got to remember, in those days, we didn't have satellites. We didn't have radar. So your programming people were always looking for some kind of hook that would, grab an audience.
Right.
Grab an audience's attention. And so this is the way it was done in Milwaukee. And we'd go out on parades together. And the fellow who did Albert was a guy by the name of Jack Dublon. He would come in, and they had a little set that was built. You know, our new set was always built to accommodate an Albert. And Jack would sit down there in, and do Albert below, out of view, on the new set. And his job by day was he would auction off estates after people had died. And then he would come in the evening and do the Albert character. So, at any rate, it was, you know, I look back at that and I think, gosh, you know, at the time, I was happy as a young person to have a job.
Right, of course.
And, but I'll tell you something, and I've always been very proud of the field of meteorology. I think we have a lot to celebrate in our field, and it would never do anything to harm its reputation or anything like that. I loved meteorology since I was a kid.
Right.
But it was interesting.
And I guess Albert had a twin brother. Do you remember Albert's twin brother's name?
No, I didn't know that.
Filbert.
Filbert the alligator.
It was an alley cat, not an alligator.
I keep thinking alligator.
Well, I never met the brother then, so that's news to me. But I'll tell you, it was completely harmless.
Of course.
And it was a lot of fun. And the relationship between the audience with the Albert character was kind of endearing. I found it very nice. As a young 25-year-old trying to make his way in the competitive world of broadcasting, it probably didn't do me any harm.
No, absolutely not.
Standing next to the most identifiable and best-loved on-air personality on Milwaukee television.
That is crazy to hear you say that.
When was the last time you saw him, Tom? Have you seen Albert at all in the last 15 or 20 years?
No, Jack Dublon passed away some number of years ago.
Oh.
No, I didn't. And shortly afterwards, they did retire Albert to the kids show.
Yeah.
But he survived, I think, through a weathercaster who followed me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a passing era in podcasting, you know.
Well, we're glad you're solo now, Tom.
Yes, it's much better.
Thank you, Wendy. I hope I didn't disappoint you and when you learned that, but I...
No, not at all.
And I must say, it's kind of odd of all the people that could have been teamed with Albert that somebody who takes weather so seriously.
Right.
But they let me, I remember the news consultants always would get upset about jets and using the term jet stream and dew point, and they were frightened to death that I was going to scare people away with stuff like that.
That it was over their heads, Tom? Did they think those terms were just too highfalutin for the average viewer? Yeah.
You know, they condescended toward the viewer, I always thought. I thought, you know, we're a lot smarter than they give us credit for, you know,
that
we viewers. And I thought, you know, this always bothered me. Now, my word, they want you on the top of the show if it's raining or, you know, if we got an inch of snow on the way and all the rest. It's a different world today than it was then. And I think sometimes we go overboard the other way.
Absolutely.
Now.
Tom, really quick, we have to bring up one more thing really quickly. During the eclipse a few weeks ago, you made national news because of how emotional you are. But how could you not be? That for you, that was like one of the most unforgettable days of your life, I bet.
Oh, Bill, it was amazing. You know, it was hot as Hades down there. I mean, the crew and I were just burning up. You were so excited by this, and there were all kinds of Chicagoans down there. We were about 10 miles south of Carbondale, and here I am on live television. I've not even brought myself to watch the tape of it. And I started descending into tears, and you're saying to yourself, come on, Skilling, get a hold of yourself. You're on live television, and men aren't supposed to do this.
That's a bunch of baloney.
Well, we've seen sportscasters, though, Tom, time and time again, when the team wins, the sportscasters melt. This was your World Series, your Super Bowl.
Well, you know, Bill, I've been amazed at the response to this. I had no idea that people would respond to it, in the way they have. And everywhere I go, people say, oh, we saw you on the eclipse and we love the way you cried. And I was so embarrassed by it.
I didn't think I could love you any more than I already did, Tom, and that pushed me over the edge.
Well, I'll tell you, Wendy, it was amazing. You know, the first hour and 15 minutes, we had the little glasses where you were watching the disc come over. But about an hour and 15 minutes, 5 minutes from totality down there, boom, you go from day to night. The sky that is azure blue one moment turns black. The stars are invisible. It was absolutely an amazing moment. And I don't think I didn't hear a mean word from anybody who had traveled down there that whole 3 days. Everybody, it was like we were all in this together.
Sure.
There was something unifying about all of it. And as I look back on it, it was an extraordinary event, and I would highly recommend. You know, there's going to be another one in 2024 visible down there in southern Illinois in its entirety again. And so 7 years from now, we'll get a rare opportunity to see it again. And I think it's really something we're seeing. I've seen science writers who have really seen these total eclipses who suggest it ought to be a national holiday so we can go out and see it.
Yep. You had every right to be emotional, Tom, and the only bad tweet I read is from somebody called @AlbertTheAlleyCat in Wisconsin. They said it was too much for him, but everybody else loved it.
Well, Albert comes back from the dead, you know. I'll tell you something. It wasn't the way it was supposed to work out, I'll tell you, it was amazing. It was sure fun meeting a lot of folks who had traveled all that way with families. I mean, this turned out to be a family occasion down there. There were so many, parents there with their kids and all, and it was a sight to see, no question about it.
Well, thank you so much for making weather so exciting for the rest of us. And you keep up with your jet streams and everything else. We know
and
what you're saying.
Points. We love it.
My jet streams, my isodrosotherm analyses, we have so many fun words in meteorology, and they make perfect names for pets.
They sure do. It's Tom Skilling, everybody. He's the best. Tom, thanks for spending time with us. Have a great rest of the week.
Good to talk to you, Bill. And you too, Wendy. And guys, you keep on keeping on.
Thank
you,
sir.
Tom Skilling, everybody.
God, I love him.
He's the best. We will take a quick break. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.